This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message.
Pull on the golden nuggets of God's holy word. Hallelujah. When you have the word, say, I have it. Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and it reads thusly. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped. Hallelujah, in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Verse number 45 is our text of emphasis, and where we shall draw the meat of what God desires to say to us today. And it reads thusly again, and blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is he or she that believes. Blessed is she or he that believes. Blessed is the one that believes. Blessed is the one that believes. Blessed is the one. Today I'm after what you believe. Blessed is the one that believe. What's going to happen, Bible? For there shall be a performance. There shall be a performance of the things that was told her from the Lord. And the word of our Lord is blessed. Let it remain separate, consecrated, and sanctified in our hearts. This morning, I would like to talk to you from the subject simply, something is coming. Something is coming. So I need you to look at your neighbor like you got Holy Ghost suspicion and point your finger at him and squint your eyes and say, neighbor, I'm not sure what it is, but something is coming. I don't know if they heard you behind your mask, but find somebody else and say, neighbor, I'm not sure when it's going to get here, but I feel in my soul something is coming. Those of you online, I want you to type in the comments, something is coming. Something's coming. Something's coming. Something's coming. Something is coming. Something is coming. All I gotta ask for you today is, are you ready? I don't hear nobody. Are you ready? Because something's coming. Clap your hands and say, something's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, do it again, God. I want you to wear us out today. In the spirit, God, we go deeper. In the Holy Ghost, we go higher. In the things of God, we go further. And Father, we thank you that as we press our ear to your mouth, you will speak ever so pristine and clear. I pray in the name of Jesus that this word will transform somebody, shift somebody, save somebody, deliver, set free somebody, and then take that body and heal that body in the name of Jesus. And Father, you don't even have to do it for us to praise you. We'll praise you before you do it. Your credit's so good with us, we'll hallelujah and scream about before it even happens. Because we know that you're not a man that you should lie. We know that you can't even tell a lie. So we'll praise you in advance for what's about to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and praise him like something's coming. Have your seats. Let's talk for a moment. In the name of the Lord. Something is coming. Something is coming. Brothers and sisters, I'm not sure if you're aware of our present Christian calendar. There is a whole calendar that the Christian community follows, particularly the Catholic Church do it dominantly, but us charismatic and Pentecostals are catching on to full Christian calendar. It's formally called liturgy. Everybody say liturgy. Liturgy, to have a liturgical calendar, is to say during certain times and certain seasons of the year, we engage in certain celebrations. You know, Jews do it on Yom Kippur and their Sabbath and their other high holy days. Hanukkah just begun with the time that the Jews celebrate that the oil, I can't get in there, but that the oil stayed for 8 days. It was the commandment of the priest to go into the temple and change the oil every 7 days. Hallelujah. So there can be always oil in the buds, and so the lampstand can stay burning. But something miraculously happened in times of war when the temple was being destroyed, that the oil stayed beyond the 7 days when it should have been changed by now. And all the lights of the menorah, what we call the lampstand, stayed lit. God does stuff like that. And when he does stuff like that, the Jewish custom was to maintain high holy days of celebration for the happenings of God. And we, as our charismatic Pentecostal community, we should take dear to that. I know this present generation don't like traditions, and y'all don't like the normal. You know, we done turned Thanksgiving to Friendsgiving. We done turned Christmas to Friendsmas, and all y'all changing everything. Y'all are called the redefined generation. You just redefine everything. But some of these things you just need to hold on to. Nostalgia is a real good thing, and it reminds you of where you came from and what you experienced. And those traditions have significance. When God delivered the children of Israel around 1845 BC, he delivered them from Egypt and brought them out of Pharaoh's bondage and captivity. He told them to have a celebration called Passover. And they did it every year. Passover was a major celebration because it's really a celebration of deliverance. It's a celebration of coming out. It is a celebration of what God has done for them. I wonder, do you remember when God did it for you? God, let me ask hypothetically, do you know your spiritual birth dates? Do you remember when you got saved? You remember the date? That's your spiritual birthday. Come on here, my birthday coming up, y'all. January 1st, 1977. I remember, hallelujah. I wasn't even there. That's what they told me. That's what they put on the birth certificate. That's my birthday. But I remember the day I got saved. Oh, come on. I said, I remember the day. Y'all remember the day I got saved? Y'all got saved? April 13, 1990. I remember. I remember the day I got saved. I remember what happened. I remember what I was wearing, what the preacher was preaching. I remember I started praising uncontrollably. They put the Baptist circle around me and wouldn't stop jumping and speaking in tongues and crying and weeping. I remember the day he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Do you remember? That should be a celebration in your life. That should be a maintained celebration. And just the kind of understanding that goes along with the liturgical calendar. You know, we have high holy days, major high holy days in our Christian calendar. One being what the world calls Easter, but we call the Resurrection Sunday. In the springtime, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that he got up from the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. The fact that he rose again changed the line of demarcation of time. And we shifted from law to grace when he got up. Hallelujah. Everything shifted when he got up. We got to celebrate it because he got up. I said, we got to celebrate it because we got up. He got up. Our whole salvation lies upon the fact that Jesus got up. If he didn't get up, we're not saved. You got to believe that God rose or raised him from the dead. And we celebrate that. And we're coming and we're embarking upon another high holy day of our Christian calendar called Christmas. Now, that term, that very term Christmas, is a term that the Roman Catholic Church has adapted because their worship service, they consider it Mass. And the Mass that they have is to worship in acknowledgement of something that occurred or something that happened. And because it is the celebration of the birth of Christ, they decided to call it Christ Mass. So Christ Mass is where we get the term Christmas from, by which the world has now adapted the term Christmas. It is the worship service to celebrate Christ. If that's what Christmas is, the reality is every Sunday should be Christmas. Let me say it again. I said every Sunday should be Christmas, because every Sunday, every week, we ought to be celebrating, come on here, Christ and what he has done and worshiping him for his goodness. And as we embark upon Christmas, there's some high things that we do there in celebration to the birth of Christ. Now, I know argumentally, because y'all so smart and you're Google-ites, that you're going to Google when was Jesus actually born. And if you research Google and your fake encyclopedia that you call Wikipedia, if you research that, it probably would suggest to you that he was actually born around the springtime. And so why is it that we're celebrating around the winter months in December if he was really born around the springtime? Well, this was just a decision to celebrate Christ, but it was not typifying his actual birthday. We're not going to argue on the actual date of his birth, but we do know that he was born. Huh? I said we do know that he was born. They told you when your birthday was. You don't know if that's the day you were actually born. You don't remember it, but you celebrate it every year because that's what they told you. So don't tell me that you don't just do things because it's what people told you. You do it all the time. And so December is just the time that they celebrate the birth of Christ, though it may not be factually the time whereas he was born. So now, as we approach Christmas, there is a time in the liturgical calendar that we also celebrate in our Christian calendar, and it's called Advent. No, if you ever heard it, it's called Advent. And in Advent, there are certain things that's done, certain sermons that's preached, certain songs that's sung, certain hymnals that's sung, certain prayers that are prayed during Advent. What's Advent, Dr. Shaw? Here's what Advent is. Advent is, it is the celebration right before Christmas. Christmas is the celebration of Christ's birth. But Advent is the celebration of anticipation for Christ's birth. Oh God, I'm going somewhere. It is the time where we sit in anticipation for the promise of the Father to come to the earth. It is a time that we sit, oh God, in expectation for the promise to fully and completely unfold. And today I want to really minister along the spirit and lines of the theme of Advent, because there has been an attack in the earth, ladies and gentlemen. There has been a demonic launching from the corridors of hell against the people of God. I gonna be long, but I'm gonna be strong. There has been a diabolical assignment out of the bottomless pit, particularly against the people of God. What is it, Shaw? It is the spirit of hopelessness. Oh God. And it's come to rob you of your levels of expectation. It's come for you to no longer believe or anticipate that God will ever do what he said he was going to do. Boy, you preaching good. The enemy has sent this year, particularly, an attack on your faith.
It's been an attack on what you believe, how you should believe, and who you believe. There has been a diabolical attack. Come on, tell the truth on Sunday. You go to hell if you lie on Sunday. There has been an attack. The enemy has decided that if I'm going to get over on them, I've got to stop them from believing what they have been believing. And I've got to cause them to question who they believe. And this year, during the virus, during the pandemic, during the protests, during the politics that has been happening in government, what has happened is we, come on, tell the truth, have questioned God more than we've ever questioned him before. Y'all tell the truth. Have you asked the question, God, where are you? And what in the world are you doing? Oh God, why does it got to be this way? Why does it have to happen like this? Why does it have to go down like that? Have you ever watched CNN, Fox, whatever your persuasion is, and said, look at the coronavirus numbers going up. God, why don't you stop this? Have y'all prayed the prayer like me? Let me talk about me because I can't talk about nobody else. Have y'all prayed the prayer like me? God, you could stop this at one snap of your finger, one blink of your eye. You could, come on, cause this to turn completely around. Why won't you just do it? And if I believe you and trust you the way I thought I should, it seems like God would turn this around. It seemed like God would fix this. Come on, y'all. If we pray and fast, if we touch and agree, when the pandemic first started, everybody was quoting, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then when I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Everybody was quoting it. We started praying. We started believing. We started turning from our wicked way. Even my Facebook profile still say I repent, because I'm still repenting, because I want him to turn this stuff around. It made you question what's going on. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, God? What's going on? What's going on? And as you persevered, and as you went through, and as you asked questions, and as you endured, and as you were quarantined and stayed in the house, your faith was being eaten away. When going to the church every Sunday, your faith was being depleted. God help us. Your faith was on trial. Hit me with some monitor. Your faith was going to another place because you said, I've never experienced something like this before. And I'm trying to believe God. But did anybody like me feel like the more I believe God, seem like the worse things get? Anybody like me felt like you ever felt like maybe this thing don't work because I'm believing God and ain't nobody surviving and ain't nobody making it and things ain't being turned around? Did you ever feel like maybe this don't work? Maybe you re-questioned your faith in God and I don't know about this Bible stuff now. I don't know about all that. I don't want to hear no prophecy. I don't want to hear no preacher. I don't want to hear no singing because I don't even know right now what I believe. I don't know what I believe because they told me that if I pray, God would turn it around, and I'm praying and it ain't turning. They told me that if I call on Jesus, he will answer, and I'm calling, it seems like he's ignoring me. They told me that if I turn my plate upside down and fast, oh God, that things will change, and I'm doing it, but nothing is happening. Did anybody feel like this year your faith wasn't working? Oh, God. And we, Sister Carol Jackson, have assumed that God has to answer us the moment we call him. We assumed that he has to come right now because we called him. But what he examined this year was your level of endurance. I'm almost through. Your level of patience. He was really examining your faith because he wants to see, do you believe me even when I don't do it? Do you believe me when it seemed like I'm not answering you? Can you still trust me when you cannot trace what I'm doing? He wants to know, are you in this for the person of Jesus or for the perks of Christ? Are you in this for his heart or are you in this for his hand?
He was testing all of us. He was examining us. He was trying us. And what has happened is many of us have found ourselves with low faith. And that's why God preached to us on Friday night that we got to be filled again, because we've been depleted. We've been tapped out and zapped out. Hallelujah. You wouldn't believe how many saints have walked away from the faith in this season and says, oh, shucks, forget it. Let me find something else to do. And they somewhere over in the corner speaking in some Buddhist dialect and tongue because they don't know what they believe. So they're searching for answers and they're searching for it. But in this season, I've discovered that you're going to have to hold on to what you believe. I said you're going to have to hold on to what you, it may be just a little bit. Can I be honest with y'all? I'm be real transparent. The prophet, the preacher, the doctor, the soon-to-be bishop, and all that other stuff y'all want to call me. I had to just hold on to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I went back to my old Sunday school books and just said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I didn't know no other scripture. I wasn't reading it. Obadiah, Hosea, Micah, come on here. I wasn't trying to be deep and profound. I was holding on to my little fundamentals, my little basics. And what y'all got to understand is you got to learn how to walk before you come on here, before you run. You got to get to the place where it says, God, I'm going back to the basics. Take me back to when I first met you. It was those fundamentals and those basics that caused my hope to live again. I had to strengthen that which remained. I had to take the flicker and the flame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said I had to take the flicker and turn it into a flame. I had to fan it, y'all. Come on. I want to talk like I'm talking the way I'm talking. I had to fan it because my fire almost went out. You won't tell the truth, but I will. I said my fire almost went out. 6 deaths and funerals. My fire almost went out. 6 caskets in the ground. My fire almost went out. And I said, God, what in the world are you doing? And why are you doing it this way? All I had to say, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. And when you're going through a heavy season, and this is what I want to say to some of y'all new school. I like the new school, love y'all. But come on here. When I'm really struggling in faith, it's the old school stuff that worked for me. I don't know what works for y'all. I said, it's the old school stuff that worked for me. I got to a point in my walk with God this year that I wasn't even reading from the Bible from my iPad. I was reading from the paper Bible because I needed to be paper Bible saved. Come on here. I needed my little red ribbon to separate my scriptures. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I didn't turn on my iPod. I found me a CD and went from a CD. I plugged in the cassette. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I need to hear the cassette player. I need to hear the old songs of the hand clapping and foot stomping. I needed to hear what it sounded like before we had organ and keyboard and drums and bass and guitar. I needed to hear what the people of God felt like before they had carpets and air conditioner and it was nothing but wood floors and hands clapping and people trusting God not for $1 million but just to be saved. God, help us in here. Oh, God. And I realized this year how spoiled we are. Good God all day. Dominique, we're spoiled. We're spoiled rotten. We're spoiled brats. That if we don't have the normal accoutrements and amenities, we ticked off and mad at God, resigning from the church. I just don't feel it because you can't get on and get a Wi-Fi signal because you come on here because you can't go to a restaurant because you can't go hang out with some friends. You all mad and upset. Honey, you better be glad you're alive. You ain't plugged up to no ventilator. You ain't come on lay up in the hospital in ICU. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I had to go back to the basics. Go back to the basics and remove all this fat off the meat. Oh God. I had to truncate my salvation to just basics. If it wasn't keeping me from heaven, it don't bother me.
I'm not messing around with anything that's going to keep me from heaven. I didn't even got time for it. If it could likely send me to hell, I don't want it. Come on, y'all. I wasn't having theological debates. And this year, I was telling people who wanted to argue, you right. Okay. Don't matter to me. I was, come on here. You want to be right? Go ahead. Be right. I'm not arguing over abortion or pro-life. I'm not arguing over weed, whether you should smoke it, whether it should be legal. I'm not arguing over none of that stuff. I'm trying to work out my own soul's salvation with fear and trembling. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And you got to get to a point in your walk with God where it says, honey, you go ahead with your theology and whatever keeps you close to God, and you go ahead and do your thing. But ask for me and my house. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing yet. I said, ask for me in my house. You can go ahead and bump and grind if you want to. I can't bump and grind because I feel guilty when I bump and grind. I can't be smoking it and drinking it and cussing you out. Come on here, because I feel guilty. I feel convicted. They don't have to feel convicted like I do, but I feel convicted. My Holy Ghost works on me. He talks with me. He walks with me. And I'm just trying to be right with God. Trying to be right with God. That's where I'm at. I'm just trying to be right with God. And this year has eaten away at our hope. Because we're praying for change, but change isn't coming. How can you hope continually when the last time you hoped, nothing happened? How do you expect me to keep expecting? And the last time I expected, nothing arrived. How God, can you do it like this? And he said, you just gotta believe me. You just gotta trust me. This year for me, I ain't talking about y'all, I'm preaching on me. This year for me, faith has been pure faith. We done turned faith into a check. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We done turned faith into a Bank of America. We done turned faith into TD. And we think faith's supposed to write us checks, give us money, give us husband and cars and houses. I'm believing God. I'm believing God. I'm believing. Honey, I've been believing God that when I lay down and sleep at night, I'm waking up in the morning. I went to bed one night in the pandemic and said, now he laid me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord, my soul decay. God bless mommy. God bless daddy. You're crazy. I'm trying to go back to a childlike faith where I simply innocently believe God. Pastor Moore, I was in a place I wasn't speaking in no tongues. I wasn't he coming to Hamunda. I wasn't doing none of that. I was now he laid me down to sleep. Because I'm not sure the way folks are dying if I'm even going to wake up in the morning. I'm just trying to be right with God. I'm just trying to be right with God as much as I know how. I'm just trying to be right with God. And the enemy kept pulling at what you believe. He kept pulling at what you believe. Don't believe that. That don't work. You see, it don't work. See, it ain't happening. See, he ain't answering. He's ignoring you. And then what the enemy will do, maybe find five folks who can agree with this. He'll play the guilt trip on you and say, the reason why God ain't answering you, because you're full of sin. Because you ain't been living right. Because you ain't been doing right. You're full of sin. You're no good. You ain't worth the answer to his prayer. You're not worth the answer. That's why God not answering you, because you're not worth it, my God. And then after your hope left, your worth left. And then you didn't feel valuable to God anymore. And all of a sudden, I'm not good enough and I have no hope. Y'all won't tell the truth, but I will. It's because of my sin. That's why I'm here. It's because of my sin. This is why this is occurring. It's because of my sin. And that guilt, that self-condemnation is a real demon. I come after that for y'all. I said, I come after that self-condemning spirit that wants to condemn you and hold you a hostage over your bad decisions of yesterday and want to keep you imprisoned from your last bump in the road. But I'm here to tell you, in whom the Son is set free is free indeed. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that believe. I'm through. And so here, brothers and sisters, the enemy has been pulling away at what we believe, pulling away at who we believe, pulling away at why we should believe. The Bible don't speak loudly anymore. Oh God, news articles was talking louder. Newspaper was talking louder. Dr. Fauci replaced Jesus Christ. And we was listening to them before more than we was listening to him. And it was pulling at our faith. And maybe we need to mask up. And maybe we need to stay 6 feet apart. And maybe we need to shut down restaurants and churches. And maybe we need to try this, that, and the other. And it was so much happening and so much going on that our expectation dropped to all-time lows. But Minister Tyreek Lane, God allowed a hopeless people to get to Advent. Advent starts on the Christian calendar November 29th. So a people who were hopeless, a people who felt unworthy, God still allowed you to enter into the season called expectation. I'm getting ready to preach in a minute because I'm feeling happy already. I said we didn't feel worthy. I said we were hopeless. I said that there was nothing going on. It seemed like there was nothing happening in the spirit. But God still allowed us to arrive to a season that we didn't even think that we were worthy of. He still let me get to the season called expectation. I need somebody right here to lay hands on yourself and say that. The devil that messed up now because he allowed me to arrive to the season called expectation. God, he knew I didn't trust him. He knew I didn't love him like I should. He knew I didn't believe him like I should. But he didn't judge me according to my sin. He graced me and had mercy upon me and still let me to arrive to a season that I did not deserve called expectation. Point your finger at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've arrived to a season called expectation. This is the season of expectation. This is the season of anticipation. This is the season where you start believing God and you start trusting him because something is getting ready to happen. Now, here's the problem with this present generation, is that we always have to be in the know. I told you a couple of weeks ago, and I'm almost through. I told you a couple of weeks ago, we worship knowing. We love knowing. Knowledge is extremely important to us. Even if we have no intentions of doing anything with the knowledge, we just want to know. We like to know. We worship knowing. And so we don't like this kind of God that don't allow us to know, who seem like he keeps secrets. And so then now, faith is only faith when you don't know it, but you believe it. Faith is substance of things hoped for with no evidence of it's ever going to arrive. But the fact that you believe it is all the evidence that you need. But if you don't believe it, then therefore you have no proof that it will ever occur. So when he robs you of your faith, he's robbed you of your proof and your evidence. And so in this season, God said, I'm going to bring you to a season even when you have no evidence that you deserve the season. God, even when there's no proof that you're in that season, but God, I need to hear the scream and the holler of somebody that came through November 29th. Whether you knew it was Advent or not, you came through November 29th, which means you already entered the season of Advent. You already entered the season of anticipation. It has arrived whether you thought you deserved it or not. Our text, Luke chapter 1, is a perfect Advent story because it is the story by which we've heard a million times where, oh God, Mary, the little girl, 13-year-old girl, hallelujah, was promise of God through the angel Gabriel that you shall carry the Christ child. She has one job and one responsibility, and that is to bring forth the Christ child. And the Bible says that Mary received this word, but when she received this word, she needed confirmation. She needed some kind of assurance. The angel of the Lord spoke to her and said, you should believe and know this is going to happen because your cousin Mary, who happens to be older than you, who's past the childbearing stages, she's also pregnant. Oh God. And she's also with child. She happens to be 3 months ahead of you. She's in a trimester that you're on your way to. He says, so what I want you to do is go and visit Elizabeth's house. And I want you to go and greet Elizabeth. Because in this season, what God is going to do is he's going to connect us with somebody who's in a trimester ahead of us. He's going to connect you with somebody who's already come through what you're trying to get through. And I'm here to tell somebody that you need to pray unto God to help you to find your Elizabeth. Come on, throw your hands up and say, Lord, show me where my Elizabeth is, because I need experience to testify to me that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. My monitor left. Give me more. If I blow it, I'll buy it. Oh, I did already. And so tell your neighbor, say, hey, neighbor, I need to find my Elizabeth, the person who's going to help me slightly down, who's going to show me the ropes of how do I get through this, even when I'm struggling and to believe that this is ever going to happen to me. I've never been with a man. How is this going to happen? I've never been with a man. Well, an old woman is going to do it. An old woman is going to testify to you so that your faith could increase. And that's why the scripture says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. It behooves you in this season. That's real good. It behooves you in this season to testify to your brother and sister because they need to know that he's still a prayer answering God. Look at your neighbor behind your mask and say, neighbor, whatever you do, don't hold back your testimony. Because tell them, people like me over here struggling. We're struggling to believe, does God still do this kind of stuff? Does God still make ways like this? And if you hold back your testimony, I have no evidence that he's still working it. So when you testify, you actually inspire me. He's still in the blessing business. And if he did it for you, he can do it for me. Because he has no respect of persons. The problem now is this, Pastor Sabrina, that Mary never knew a man and she pregnant. Elizabeth is old and she's pregnant, which means both of them should not be pregnant. God, help me in here. God's gonna bring two people together that should not have what they're about to get. Which means that our praise should connect because neither one of us should have what we're about to receive. Point your finger like you, the Sunday morning preacher, and say, neighbor, neither one of us deserve it. Neither one of us have earned it, but God about to give it to both of us. That's why I can't be jealous of you because both of us about to be blessed. That's why I can't hate on you because both of us about to get a miracle. And neither one of us have been in the condition to deserve it. And the Bible says that Mary obeys the Lord, goes over to Elizabeth's house. Here's the other challenge with Elizabeth. The other challenge with Elizabeth, Elder Blondette, is this. Not only is she old and with child, but she's been carrying a baby and has never, ever felt the baby move in her system. She's never felt it kick. She's never felt it move. She's never felt it gyrate. So she is being enlarged, but there's no internal proof that something is there. Her body is changing and reforming itself, but there's no real evidence that she's really pregnant. She's carrying, but there is no movement. I said she's carrying, but there is no evidence. She's carrying, but her gift ain't working. My God, she's got something, but what she got ain't moving. And I believe that this year, some of you have been pregnant with death. destiny and purpose, and you know you got it, but what you got ain't moving. What you got ain't twitch. What you got hasn't kicked yet, but your body's deforming. Your back is bending. Your shape is changing, but there has been no evidence. But the Bible says that when Mary came to Elizabeth and greeted her, oh God, that which had moved and that which had never kicked started moving and kicking. Her baby began to leap. And I want to prophesy to somebody that has an anointing on the inside of you. God said that your anointing is about to kick. Can I prophesy and you receive it with a shout and a holler? Your anointing is about to kick. Your gifts are about to move. Your gifts have seemed stifled and stiff, but God says the gifts are about to move. And my God, as the baby moved inside of Elizabeth, watch this. The Bible says that Elizabeth said, even now I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. So the gift affected Elizabeth until the point that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Even at the very salutation that was in her ear, the Bible says the baby leaped. Now, this is the point that was all good, but here's the point that I want to go to. Verse 45, it says, and blessed is she that believed. Mm-hmm. It said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord, which means that now both of them are anticipating and expecting something to occur. And all of the generations in Jerusalem and all them that were in Judea started sitting in the place called expectation. And this is the historicity of the Advent, whereby which now everybody is expecting the Christ child to be born. Everybody who believed it heard the prophecies of Isaiah, that unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Everyone who knew the writings of Isaiah, that says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but with his stripes we are healed. Everyone that heard those prophetic declarations are now sitting in anticipation that something is about to happen. Something is about to occur. They don't know which woman is carrying it. They don't know where it's going to be coming from, but they know that something is coming and something is on its way. The people have been in political burdens. They've been oppressed by the government. They've been oppressed by the systems of the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin court. But they started believing that something is coming. Something is about to shift us and change our trajectory. And I want to prophesy right here in the Advent season that soon as you cross over from November the 29th, you have entered the season of expectations, and something is about to happen to you, and something is on its way. Do me a favor and point your finger at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not sure what it is, but tell them something is coming. You got the wrong neighbor. They mask on too tight. Find somebody else and say, neighbor, I'm here to tell you that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. And tell them neither has it entered the heart of man what God about to do for you. Tell them, I don't know what it is, but something is coming. I can't put a label on it. I don't know how to read your mail, but I know that something is about to arrive, and it's going to bless your life and make your head spin. And there's a few folks in this place that do not have to know what's coming, but know who it's coming from. And know, because God is the one that's sending it, everything is going to be all right. Yeah, is there anybody in the room that knows something is on its way? When the Holy Ghost gave me this message, Sister Tanya, it reminded me that when I used to take the 46 bus to my school and even the B6, I used to stand outside at the bus stop, and because I was late to school, I was rushing the bus to come down the road, and every now and then I would remove myself from the bus stop and look down the road to see if the bus was coming, because I knew if the bus was coming that I didn't have to be as late as I knew I was. And I looked down the road. One time a woman tapped me on the shoulder and she said, "Son, why do you keep looking down the road?" I said, "Because I'm expecting the bus to arrive and on its way." And she looked at me and said, "Well, son, I want you to know that you looking down the road ain't gonna make the bus come any faster. It's gonna come at its own speed and pace." I said, "You're right." And because I had a sassy mouth, I said, "You're right, ma'am. But there's something that happens when I look down the road. When I see the bus coming and I step back on the sidewalk, I know something that the rest of y'all don't. I know the bus is coming. I know it's on its way. If I don't see it, then I know something y'all don't, that the bus ain't gonna arrive anytime soon, and you're gonna have to stand here a little longer." She said, "But the bus is gonna come." I said, "Yeah, but I know it's coming, because I see it coming down the road, and the Holy Ghost told me to tell y'all that he allowed me to step off the curb of time and look down the road of eternity to give y'all a message and tell you the bus is coming. Something is coming. Get your ticket ready. Get your token prepared, because the bus is on its way. What's on the bus? It's my breakthrough. It's my blessing. Find somebody and say, labor, something is coming." You're in the season of expectation, and you don't have to wait until it arrives. Just expect it. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I believe there's about 25 folks that's hearing this word will trust God that something is coming. Lay hands on your soul and says, "Soul, stop rejoicing. Something's coming." Lay hands on your head and say, "Head, stop your stressing. Something is coming. Something gonna bless you. Something gonna prosper you. Something gonna increase you. It can't be described. Ain't no label on it. When the mailman delivers your mail, he has no idea what's inside. But you check your mailbox because you heard that something is coming. I got a word for 17 screamers. The Lord told me to tell you, check your mailbox. Something's coming. Check your email. Something's coming. Check your soul. Something about to hit your life. It's going to change your life for the rest of your life. If you got a green bracelet, high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, my hope was gone. But tell him, I believe that God has answered and something is arriving. Something is coming. I'm not talking about the COVID vaccine. They put that together in the last 3 months. What I'm talking about, the Holy Ghost been working on for the last 3 years. Something's coming. There's a promise that's on its way, because a promise is a promise. And I need about 5 or 10 people to get excited, because the Bible says that even though weeping endures for just the night, and joy will come in the morning. Something something's coming in the morning. Something's coming by sunbreak. Something coming by sunrise. Here, come on. Help me preach, whinings. Ain't no need to worry what the night is gonna bring. It's gonna be over in the morning. In the morning. When I rise, I'm gonna rise holy in the morning. Look at your neighbor, prophesy to him, and say, neighbor, I prophesy by morning you'll be in another place. Something's coming. Find somebody, point your finger, and say, neighbor, I prophesy in 3 days you'll experience a resurrection. Something coming. Find another neighbor and say, neighbor, in 7 days something's coming. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want to tell somebody that's been hoping, expecting, and waiting. Come here, Isaiah. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to strengthen you. Mary Brooks, something coming. Edna Massey, something coming. Sabrina Shaw, something coming. Evelyn Dawson, something's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Because once God has determined that I'm going to be blessed, one devil can't stop it. Lay hands on yourself and say, what God has for me, it is for me. God, I feel like preaching. Something coming. Jonathan Shaw, why you dancing? Because you got a call. I'm not dancing because what I got, I'm dancing for what's coming. Anybody in here got the kind of praise? I don't have to wait till I get it. I can praise them in advance. Something coming. Something about to happen. I feel in my soul that something is about to break forth in my life. Something. I gotta close here. Something. Somebody shout something. I said something. Something is coming. But I heard the Lord just speak to me. He said, tell about 25 of them that not only is something coming, but someone is coming. Someone that loves you. Someone that's ready to bless you. Who's coming? Jesus. I don't hear nobody. Who's coming? Jesus. Who's coming? Mary's baby. Who's coming? The carpenter's son. Who's coming? My kinsman redeemer. My battle axe in the time of battle. My shield. My buckler. My water when I'm thirsty. My bread when I'm hungry. Somebody's coming. Fix the house. Clean up the house. Somebody is coming over. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Somebody's coming. Somebody gonna rescue you. Somebody gonna deliver you. Somebody gonna set you free. Grab somebody by the hand, shake it good, and say, someone, They're coming. Where are the praises? Where are the shouts? Where is the hallelujah? I praise him in advance. I celebrate before it happens, because I know something is coming. Get out your seats. Find somebody. Stay 6 feet apart and tell them something. I said, tell them something is coming. Don't know what it is. Don't know where it's coming. But get ready. I said, get ready. How do you get ready? You praise him in the morning. You praise him in the noonday. You praise him in the midnight. Praise. Get you ready for what's coming. Shout it out. Shout it out. Oh, Lord. Oh. Somebody say, oh. Somebody say, oh. Say, oh. That's the sound of travailing. That's the sound of travailing. That's the sound of travailing. One more time. Hold your belly and say, oh. Something is coming. Something is coming. My children breakthrough. My financial deliverance. Something. I don't need to know what it is. I know that it's coming from God. And I praise him because something. Where is your Advent praise? Where is your Advent praise? Where is your Advent? You better open up your mouth and give them your Advent praise. Clap your hands and say something is coming. Say something is on its way. Something is about to arrive. And I'm going to praise him before it gets here. Say it. Build up your hope. Build up your hope. Build up your expectation. Build up your anticipation. Hope again. Hope again. Hope again. I'm here to tell somebody, it behooves you. Hope again. Because something coming. Watch this. There's a breaking of day that's getting ready to happen. Watch this. Watch this. Just the other day, I ordered another book from Amazon. You know, Amazon got a lot of our money in this pandemic. We did a whole lot of online shopping. And I ordered some things. And I ordered some more stuff. And some more things. I was excited. Because they'll send you, UPS and FedEx, they'll send you this email. That gets your hopes real crazy. And if you like me, Sister Evelyn, I'll go online and order something at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, I'll be at the door waiting, looking for my stuff. You just ordered it. I want it. Every knock at the door, who that? That's UPS. It's a shame when you know your FedEx delivery guy by first name. That's a bad situation. I know him. We on first name basis. Everything that I ordered arrived. That email got me all antsy. It said, your tracking number such and such and such. And it says, your package has shipped. I'm excited. Yes. Then they let you click the button, the link, to you can follow the tracking. It just left New Jersey. It got checked at Queens. Ooh, it's going to be here. And then they'll send you email. It arrived by end of the day. Oh, I can't stand that email. Because I'm like, what time is the end of the day? The end of my day or the end of your day? Who end of the day it is? By end of the day, it's going to arrive. Okay. So I got to wait for it. All my packets, Rissa, arrived. I got my stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I tell John, the FedEx guy, that's his name, John. Hey, John, see you again tomorrow, John. I got something else coming. John delivers all my packages. They deliver all my stuff. I'm good. The other day, thank you, Jesus, there was a knock on the door. It was the FedEx guy delivering a package with my name on it. Hold on now. I know what I ordered. I got all my stuff. Look, check my boxes. I got all my stuff. What's this? I didn't order this. It got my name on it, my address, everything is right. Who this? I'm standing at the mailbox like silly. Anything come for me? I'm not trying to figure out, where did this come from? Who ordered this? I wouldn't open it because it was too suspicious. You know, we come through days of anthrax. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all don't remember anthrax. We come through days when people send stuff. And I said, God, I got too many enemies out here. They're trying to kill a preacher. I ain't opening this. I'm going to send it right back from which it has come. In Jesus' name. I don't know. So it sat there because I don't know who sent this. I didn't order this. I got all my stuff. Where this come from? So Tay, I'm suspicious. Who that? I get a text from my daughter, Pastor Tay. You listen, you online. You did this to me. And she texted me. She said, Dad, I ordered something for the media ministry. And I sent it in your name. She said, so when it arrives, I sent it. Help me here. I'm getting ready to run. Sometimes we're only expecting what we ordered. But there are those occasions where he ordered something for us. And he put our name on the package and it wasn't what we were expecting, but it got my name on it. I'm here to tell somebody God has ordered something for you. He put your name on the package. It is arrived with your name on it. Get ready to open up what he sent you. You weren't expecting it, but here it comes. Something's coming. Don't be afraid to open your package. Something's coming. If it got your name on it, somebody ordered it for you. And the Bible says that the steps of a good man. God, I gotta get out of here. A order of the Lord. He's ordering your steps. So can I prophesy to 7 of y'all? The move you about to make, God ordered it. I said the step you about to take, God ordered it. You're about to start the business. God ordered it. You're about to write the book. God ordered it. You're about to open up to a new level. God ordered it. Where this come from? He ordered it. When your enemies ask, how did you get that? Tell them he ordered it. It had my name on it. And for 17 screamers, something's coming with your name on it. Somebody holler, it got my name on it. It got my name on it. It got my name on it. Clap your hands and say, something's coming with my name on it. Everyone standing. I'm through. I went over my time, but I'm finished with you. In this season of expectation and anticipation, make sure that your hope doesn't die. Revive your hope and your expectation. Something great has been ordered for you. Something is coming for you. And it comes straight from the Lord. Something is coming. You just got to get ready. Are you ready for what's coming? I said, are you ready for what's coming? Lord, make us ready for what's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, at this hour and this moment, we come to you to thank and praise you for what you sent our way. Some of which we ordered, some we didn't even order. We didn't even know it was arriving. But we got an email from Glory that your package has shipped. Father, today we give you praise because we anticipate change, difference. We anticipate something greater arriving in our lives. Have your way and move by your spirit, we pray. Do it in our family. Do it in our lives. Do it in our finances. Do it in Crown Ministries. Do it like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap those hands all over this building. I said, praise him like something is coming.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.